Okay, so the Gemara says, we're commenting on the heter to give poor people and guests demai. So Amar Rabbi Yonah, matnito b'ani chaverim. So Rabbi Yonah says that's only if the poor people are themselves chaverim, and therefore you don't have to worry that you are contributing to them eating demai, because they're going to be mafresh. And by guests, this is according to Rabbi Yeshua. Right. No, not a guest like Rabbi Yeshua. Right. Is the case as the case of Rabbi Yeshua, which is the story that we're going to read in just a second. Right, and so it's two qualifications, as we'll see. One is that they're chaverim, and they're not staying overnight. Now, right, the problem that everyone wants to figure out is what is even the svara to limit the heter? Meaning, if demai is derabanan, and we now carve out a heter that you can give it to aniyim and chaverim, so what does it mean that you can only, aniyim and guests, so what does it mean that it's, so what exactly was the heter? I mean, if you're saying you can only give the chaverim, they can be, so that they'll be mafresh, I haven't been matir anything. So the Acharnim say it must be that this minimal position is just to say that it's, that you're waiving the prohibition of doing a kinyan with demai, right? Because there's two in, right? There's two things you can't do with demai, right? One is eating, and the other is to sell it or to give it as a present. And we waive that. What does it mean when you say? But admittedly, it is very odd. But that there doesn't seem to be another way to explain, you know, escape this problem. So the Gemara then says, okay, Tani, Maisa be Rabbi Yeshua. Right, Rabbi Yeshua was a chaver, and his chaverim were chaverim. Right, his friends were chaverim in the formal sense. Okay. Shahalach achar Rabbi Yochanan mezakei livor chayil. So he went with Rabbi Yochanan to Bror Chayil, and this is a this was where the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Yochanan was. Now it's worth noting that not everybody reads the Gemara we're going to. The Rashi Willio thinks that. No, the limitation chaverim is only by poor people, but not by guests. By guests, you can give it even to ame haaretz. By otim bnei ayarot mivian land paro, and the people in these towns, right, through which Rabbi Yeshua went with his whole chevra, brought them demai. Amar land Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua said, im lanu kan chayavin an laser. If we were staying overnight, so then we would have to give maaser, v'im lav, einanu chayavin laaser. So again, the machloket here is, what are we learning from this halacha? According to Bnei Yeshua, we're learning two things. One is that you need to be a chaver, because Rabbi Yeshua was a chaver. And the second is that the type of guest we're talking about is someone who's not staying overnight. If someone's staying overnight, so then I guess he integrates into the town, and you have to take the extra time, find him resources that are mofresh, or he has time to be mofresh, or whatever you want to say exactly is the point. The Pnei Moshe, the Rashi Willio seems to say that all he's saying, he's not saying that it's only chaverim, he's just saying that it has to be guests who are not staying overnight. And that's what the Braita is clarifying. Now interestingly, we're gonna see that even if you say they can eat the demai, there seems to be at least a chumrah for them to be mafresh. So then you have to ask the question, why didn't Rabbi Yeshua do that, right? He just let them eat. So here, it seems that it might just be that, look, you should be mafresh, but it's a chumrah, and therefore you only do it if you'll have enough food after you're mafresh to eat. If you're going to be starving because you gave up that percentage, then it's not, then obviously you don't have to, because it's only a chumrah. Now, the Yerushalmi and Meisr doesn't conclude this way. The Yerushalmi and Meisr assumes that this is a chumrah of Rabbi Yeshua's, but la halacha, we say that a guest is even someone who's staying overnight. Right? This is a position, but not necessarily halacha. As we're going to see right now, not all these standards are muskam. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Bani Ama Aretz Imatnita. He says, no, Mapitam, you're more Meikil. Right? Even in Ama Aretz, you're allowed to give to Mai when he's poor. Him Omar al Bani Nechavirim, Nim say, no, I'll delip with Ama Aretz. Because if you would say that it only goes to poor people who are Chavirim, then poor Ama Aretz will have no food, right? And the because, you know, it's great. I can give the Maya, it's stuck up, but I can only give the Chaverim. And the Mara Folda just says even more. It's not just you won't end up giving to poor people who are not Tamid Chamim, which is bad enough. But Sheyamut Per'av, he just says, and they will starve to death. Right? They will just starve because there is no food. And therefore, right, this was a heter to give poor people. It's interesting that there was actually a discussion in post-game, that they wanted to know whether based on this Gemara you could be more makil by kitnia for poor people on Pesach, right? Because once you sit right, because if demai, which is a formal gzera derabanan, we are makil, and kitnia, which wasn't acceptable, of Klal Yisrael, it's in a minhag, right? So that's an interesting discussion. This is why I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole. I'm just throwing it out there. So now the Gemara says, "Ma mekayim Rabbi Yosi la achsina la achsanya." So what does Rabbi Yosi say by guests? So meaning, what is the case in which we allow you to give guests? Right, because poor people, okay, they're poor, they're starving. What's the case of a guest? So ma mekayim Rabbi Yosi la achsina. So kada detani. So the basis, right, the kula is based on the following, that the Braita says, or Mishnah says, Hagarim imach, that not only are you, do you have to support Jews, you have to support non-Jews, a non-Jewish guest, right? In general, as we know, the Gemara, the sugyas in Gittin, and Shviat say that many of the mitzvot on the chavero, even if you're not chayev on them from Nekar Aden, you're chayev midar tishalom, to be kruchalim and burying the dead and the like, and if I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but very briefly, there's a major machloket. What is Darkei Shalom? Does Darkei Shalom mean, I don't really care about them, but like, I want to maintain basic relationship? That's one possibility. Or is Darkei Shalom fundamental? That, but between me and a Jew, the reason I have to, let's say, give stock is I have a mitzvah stock up. By non-Jews, maybe I don't have the local mitzvah stock up, but I have, exactly. I have the more general responsibility of a matati odeh, v'halach lebitrachav, based on the fact that what's the diuk based on? That the Rambam, when he quotes the halach of Darkei Shalom, quotes the pasuk of, Tov Hashem lakol barachav v'kol masav, that God is good to everyone, and the fact that Torah is kol nativ oshesh shalom. So you could argue that Darkei Shalom is the ways of the Torah, not peace, meaning fundamental, that the Torah is a way of peace, and we have to follow the Torah to be godly. And this position was taken by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in Perach Mate Aaron. It was, I don't know who took it first, but it was later published by the Rav in Halachic Morality. It was taken by Rav Unterman takes this position. Rav Tzvi Hoffman takes a version of this position. It's interesting. The Rav actually goes farther than Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says that there's staka, and then there's halach l'midrachav. Right? The Rav, if you read his piece carefully on it, actually goes in the opposite direction. It's like, no, the more basic obligation is the universal one. Right? It's not that there's like an ikar chiyuv to Jews and a secondary to non-Jews. There's a fundamental one that commands me to all of humanity, and then there's like a cherry on the top for Jews, right? Which is a different way of framing it. You can read the piece on halach morality to see that my diuk is right and compare it to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and Perach Mate Aaron. The one on brotherhood and something, because he's talking about universal relations versus brotherly relationships and the like. It's a very interesting chapter. It took me a while to realize that that's what the Rav was doing compared to the... Again, I don't know if Rav Aaron Soloveitchik disagreed. He's writing a Lumdish piece in a parish in the Rambam, so it's obviously less elaborate philosophically. So Agarim Imach, right, you give them. Now, the pasuk here is about Shemitah. Right, that you also can give them Shemitah, Rabarach Sanya, you can give it even to guests, right? You can give Shviat produce to guests, that's not considered a business deal or something. Rabbi Lazar Omer Zuach Sanai Shal Goy. Lazar says you can even give it to a non-Jewish guest. Now the Chazon Ish argues that that's only D'oraita, right? That D'oraita you're allowed to give non-Jew Shviat, right? Even when he's not a guest. But normally we forbid it midirabbanan because they might not treat it b'kedusha shviyit. But a guest, we waive the dirabbanan and return to the d'oraita. Which again, this comes back to much of what we talked last year, which is what is the nature of the hefker by shviyit. Because if it's just ownerless, it makes no sense to limit it to a goy. But if you think it's not ownerless, it's owned by everyone, or it's hefker for the purpose of reaching its end goal. And remember, we saw that there may be tzvei dinim, right? It may be that when a Jew eats it, it's a kiyum, but when the pasuk also says, like, animals can eat it, which is obviously not a mitzvah, it's a heter. Right, so things get, what? I did not say that. No, I'm just saying, if you can give it to animals who clearly aren't chayv and mitzvah, that means that you're allowed, that per tzviyat me din Torah don't need to be eaten by someone who's going to become the mitzvah. And therefore, if there's a concern about giving to non-Jews, that would be more about, as the Chazon Ish says, because you're worried they won't, dafka, because non-Jews have mitzvah responsibilities, at some level, it might be considered a violation if they eat it, not because they're tzviyat, not for them, but for you, because, right, they're human beings, so it's an indignity. Correct, they don't, and they're not chayev. But maybe you're chayev, like an animal. Right, you can feed it, and that's the mitzvah. That's part of kedushat shviyat for animal food. But for a non-Jew who's a human being, and therefore the food is now going to human being, and should therefore be kept kedushat shviyat, he might not keep it, and therefore for you to facilitate it might be a problem derabana. Right. So again, it's dafka not. I'm not making that point. Right. I'm saying no. That's why it might be different. And even now we waive it by guests, or maybe now is that because he's a guest or because he's eating in your house? Right. Bechlal, like that's right, and it's. Correct, so maybe you can be more in control. I don't know exactly what, you know, the answer is. You can tell him to put it in the Shemitah box, you know. I don't want to call it the Shemitah trash can. Ramon is very mocked on this, because how could you say, I'm putting in the Shemitah trash can to keep Kedusha Shviyat, but you call it the Shemitah trash can, right? So he says, you shouldn't call it that, right? The Pach Shviyat. He's like, what type, right? Ramon is very mocked on this. You shouldn't say the Pach Shviyat. Ma Pach Shviyat. Okay, now... it's worth noting that the Rosh, according to the Rosh, this is a little bit different. Biyoshi disagrees with Biona and holds that in general, both a poor person and a guest may not eat tamai. They're only allowed to eat tamai if they're going to give meiser. Because Chaverim always will only eat it, so therefore the Mishnah saying that you can give it to them must be. Right, meaning they're not going to be mafresh, and therefore you need a het there to give it to them. Right, meaning the Rabbanan allow one to give demai to people who you can assume will be mafresh. So therefore, when you permit eating it without tithing, it must be, right, chaverim, who otherwise would be mafresh. It can't be referring to Amaretz because they're not to Chaverim because they're not allowed to be din Chaverim. Therefore, it must only be Amaretz. And then you would say, well, then people will only give it to Chaverim because they only want people to eat who are going to have children in Maestro. So, in order to make sure that they didn't do that, right, they made a heter. You can give it to the Amaretz, and therefore there's no Isser. So, in summary, according to the Rosh, Rabbi Yonah explains the mission is dealing only with poor people and guests who are chaverim, while Rabbi Yossi explains the mission is dealing even with aniyim who are amei aretz and non-Jewish guests. According to Rosh, Rabbi Yonah explains the mission is dealing with aniyim and guests who are chaverim as well. Rabbi Yossi explains the mission is dealing only with poor people and amei aretz and non-Jewish guests. So Tani. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, Sarach Lodiya, you have to tell them that it's demai. I'll die. Rabbi Yonah do Amar bani chaverim bani tanichah. Listen, if you're telling them that it's demai, so they have the ability to be machmir. That makes sense if you're giving to chaverim. But al daid Rabbi Yossi, do amar bani amaretz imatnita. But according to Rabbi Yossi, you're giving to amar aretz. So what's the point of telling them that you're giving them? They're not mafresh. So afil modienu moil won't help. Ma moil. So Gemara said, no, miminecha chumutukan. Not every amaretz isn't mafresh. Most aren't, but maybe one will. And therefore it's worth telling them now. You go back to the story. And we say as follows: Amr Abimana Hada Amra Ilin Yavan Bevetin. Travelers who are in the house overnight also didn't meet the May Shviat. You can't give them Shviat money. She'enu El Kaber Chov Bidvei Shviat, because as we've seen, you're not allowed to pay back a loan. And you remember how much time we spend on what a loan is for purposes of Shemitah. And remember, we talked about in the context of Mishloach Mana is fulfilling a mitzvah. a form of Perechov. Remember we did that? Right? And therefore, can you use Perot Shviat for Rishon Manot? So here is an example where the Gemara assumes that because you have a mitzvah, you have a chov to feed overnight guests, that in fact it is paying a loan, which pushes in that direction. That even fulfilling a mitzvah, definitely a mitzvah with a mitzvah with a monetary component, might actually be a form of Perechov. Now, the reason the Marafolda explains is because a guest who's not staying overnight might be pure chesed without a particular monetary chov, but the way we formulate the chiyuv of guests who stay overnight, there is a, right, there's a more concrete thing, right? That's what he says. Right, which is interesting, right, that a gmil chasadim can be transformed into a type of chov, which would then create, now why is this the case? So the Marafulda says later on that the reason might be, because look, he says, if you look down later, this woman, he said the difference is as follows. Someone who's not staying overnight, you know, someone knocks on my door, comes in for a second, you know, and I say, oh, you know, here, you know, it's a hot day, have a cup of water. I don't expect to see that person again. But if, you know, I don't know, one of you comes over, you know, you stay at my house for Shabbos, you come from multiple, then it's wonderful. And then, for whatever reason, I find myself in Maryland stuck for Shabbos, right? Right. I might just call up Josh and say, you know, you remember, and even if I don't say those words, it's like, right. It's like, Josh, you know, I'm stuck for Shabbos. You know all those times, you know,
not all those times. The one time.
I'll give you a normal invite to come whenever you want.
Right. But the point is that when someone stays overnight, it creates more of an implied reciprocation. Right. Expectation, and that might be the chov, right? Social obligations might be a chov, but that's less if someone knocks on my door and I give them a cup of water. Then if I come back to them and say, I'm going to track you down and get that cup of water, that's not how we work. Kahada Ditani, and where do we see this idea that there are different types of kindnesses, some of which are viewed as a chov and some of which are not? Kahada Ditani, like the following braita in Shviat, the Echad Shviat Echad Maiser. Shani, right? Both Shvi and Meister Shani can be eaten, but they can't be used for monetary things. Ain Ifran Man Malvivichov, you can't pay a debt. Okay. The Ain Osin Man Shushbinit, and you can't do Shushbinit. What's Shushbinit? So either, according to Mara Fulda, this is a group of friends who, okay, we have Shabbos by you the first week of every month and Shabbos by you the second. Like, there is a formal thing, right? It's, we don't like cooking every week, so we have an arrangement. We do a rotation. There's an implied chov, or even more monetary, because this, the Gemara says, you can actually call out, you can actually call someone to account in Beit Din, was a groomsman, essentially, right? That people would provide certain gifts that was like expected gifts of the groomsman, right? It's like Josh is Morty's groomsman, you know, when he gets married, you're already 20? He has a little bit of time before his bones start whatever, right? So Josh becomes his groomsman, and there were certain expected gifts. And then, when Josh gets married, Morty is expected to reciprocate. That was the social expectation. If he doesn't, right, so there's an actual legal obligation at some level. The Ein Mishalman Man Tashlumin, and you can't use them here to repay a favor. Which is, again, the Marafolda says, this is what we were talking about before, is, you know, letting somebody stay at your house because they let you stay at the house. That's the chov. Then postman tzakalanim beveda kineset, or you can't use it for tztaka in the shul, because this was a, this wasn't a regular tztaka. It was a type of a communal tax, right, that you collected it and you repaid it, and therefore it has that monetary component. Aval mishalman mem davar shal gmilut chasadim, but stam kindness you are allowed to use. So you see the different types of kindness. Some have a monetary implication, some don't. But you have to tell them that it's Shviat and Meister Sheni, so they can treat it with Kedusha, and etc. So now, if we go quickly to the question of workers, so the Gemara says, Taman Taninan, we learn in the Mishnah that Poel Sheino Mamin Leval Abayit, a poor worker who doesn't trust his employer, to separate Maestro. So what he does is, right, he sets right? His, you know, he has to be the mimafresh, and you know, he does the tanai. This is true. Meiser, this is true. Meiser, da da da. Tamon and Amar, there you say apol mafresh. There you say that the poor worker has to separate meiser. Kod Amar balabayit mafresh. But here the Tanagama says that you have to be mafresh before you give it. So Amar Abiyona, Tamon, when do we allow you to give your workers to my machilo min amnuyin? When you're giving him, like any other poor person, like as part of your house, right? Meaning he happens to be your worker, but you're inviting him for dinner at your house. So he happens to be your worker. Great. And then you're allowed to feed him demai, so you don't have to be. Right? And that is a type of, you know, of chesed and the like, and staka, and he's a guest or whatever. So you can give him demai, right? Because he's a poor worker. But Baram Hacha, but when do we say you have to be mafresh machilo mina evos? When you give him from the worker's trough, right? So there was two different things. If you, there was like, I have to provide lunch as part of my contract, I have to be mafresh because this is a monetary act. If I, my worker happens to be poor, so I invite him for lunch in addition to whatever I'm obligated, so then I'm giving him midin, a guest or a poor person, and then I can give him a demai. This is how the Marafold understands it, the Rosh Cirilio, who say that we're talking about an employer is a chaver, and that's why it's asking it. But others understand the Mishnah saying that no, the Mishnah is dealing with an employer as an amaret, that's why he doesn't trust him, not because of formalities. Then how do you explain our sugya? So the Gra explains as follows, that this is according to Rabbi Gamliel, that one may can feed his poor employee demai. And the Gemara then asks, the Mishnah below says that an employee's on Ared says that the employee, that if the employer would be a chaver, you wouldn't have to be mafresh. Why? It must be that it's that the case you're dealing with is also to give to your workers without afrasha. That's why. If you don't trust the Amaras, you have to be mafresh. Right? I mean, he's not actually talking about a case of a chaver who's being mafresh. It's by implication. It's, I don't trust the Amaras, so I have to be mafresh, which implies it would be a case in which the chaver would be chayev and would be mafresh. What is the case in which the chaver would actually be mafresh? So it says, if it's a case where he's obligated to give me, he has to be mafresh. The case where he's not, then even the chaver would be allowed to give demai. Okay. Yeah.